Okay, today's daf is Nun Dalet. We're going to start, we'll quickly review from the two dots closer to the top of Nun Gimel Amud Bet. We'll go through that very quickly. Before we start, I just want to wish Mazal Tov to Alana Krishan, who wrote the book, All the Seas Were Ink. She won the Sammy Rohr Prize for Jewish Literature.
Oh, great.
Yeah, which is, really amazing accomplishment. Gets more people talking about Daf Yomi. Okay. So we were in the middle of the Mishnah about Ha'ola Kodshe Kodshim, okay, and then we talked about this Damata un Shte Matanot Shehen Arba. So there was a debate about, I'm just going to quickly review from the two dots without reading everything inside, debate between Rav and Shmuel, whether Rav says you put the blood on each side, in other words, no matter what, you only do two corners, like you only stand in two corners, the Kohen, instead of with the Chatat, where he moves from one corner to the other, he goes from one corner to the opposite corner, but at each corner, according to Rav, he puts a little bit on one side of the wall and a little bit on the other side of the wall while he's standing at the corner. According to Shmuel, he kind of throws the blood in one shot in a way that it angles and gets on both corners, both walls of that corner of the Mizbech. So then we saw that this is based on a Machloket Tanaim. So let's start there. Kitanai. Yachol, right in the center of the daf, a little before the center. Yachol Yizrakena Zrika Achat, Tamud Lomar Saviv. We're now going to see that there's Machloket Tanaim about this issue also. You might have thought you could throw out one Zrika. Tamud Lomar Saviv. It says, no, it's not enough. You have to get it all around. So then if Isaviv, Yachol Yikifenu Kichut, you might think that you have to draw a line all around. Tamu lamar uzarko, right? You have to throw it. If you throw it, you can't possibly throw it and get it all around. So haketzad kimingama. That's how we get both the zrika and that it gets around to all the sides. Okay, like this chaf sofit type letter. Rabbi Yishmael omer, so he obviously matches Shmuel's position. Rabbi Yishmael is now going to match Rav's opinion that you actually have to put it on each side yourself. Omer ne'mar kan saviv, ne'mar lahalan saviv. Okay, yesterday we were at the end. I forgot where it was. It's in the miluim of Moshe. When Moshe does the imam miluim, and then he has to put blood on the mizbech. So he puts it saviv, and there, malahalan pisuk va'arba matanot. There it's clear that he puts one on each of the four corners. Afkan pisuk va'arba matanot. Here also, each placing is distinct, meaning he stands at only two corners, but as he's at each corner, he puts one on one wall and one on the other wall. So there he put one on each of the four corners, but here the assumption is you put on each of the four walls Avkan Arba Matanot al Arba Karnot. It's a little odd because it says Arba Karnot, but it's not really four corners. It's really four sides, four walls. Amart Ola to Una Yesod. So now Rabbi Yishmael continues. This is where we stopped yesterday. Oh, I'm sorry. That's where we stopped. Amart Ola to Una Yesod, Vikerem Mizrachit Dromit Lo Hayala Yesod. So now they say, you say that the Ola needs Yesod. Okay, where was that? This was back a few Dapim, if you remember when we had that Al Yesod, we darted in that Pasuk, it was mentioned three times, about the Shiraim goes El Yesod Mizbach Ola. And then if you recall, they suggested maybe it's really talking about Zrika and not the Shiraim. And it's trying to tell you that the Zrika of the Ola has to be in a place when you throw the blood on the Mizbech. It has to be the place that's opposite the Yesod, meaning that the Yesod is below it. And then Rabbi Yishmael said, no, you wouldn't need a Pasuk to teach that because you can learn that from a Kal V'chomer. Okay, and he said the Kal V'chomer was, just to remind you, Mas Shiraim She'em Mechaprim Te'unim Yesod, since the Shiraim, which don't provide Kapara, need Yesod, Tchilat Ola She'mechaperet Ein Adin She'tuna Yesod, wouldn't it be obvious that the Ola itself would need the Yesod, meaning that when you throw the blood onto the wall, remember the wall? Okay, actually we were discussing this after class yesterday, I want to make this clear. The blood that are done on the top, the Kohen stands on the Yesod, remember we talked about that, that was the Saviv, thank you, the Saviv. The Kohen stands for, my mistake. Okay, let's start from the beginning. The Yesod is at the bottom. Today we're actually going to see descriptions of the entire measurements and everything in the Gemara. The Yesod was at the bottom. Then you had on top of that this five Amma. We're going to see. Okay, I can correct yesterday or at least clarify it 100%. It is the Yesod covers the entire floor. It's an Amma off the floor for the entire base of the Mizbeach. It's not just on the edge. Right.
It's called the Yesod.
Exactly. So it stands at the base of Yafeh. It stands at the base of the Mizbeach. It just, on two sides, it doesn't jut out as much. Okay? Whereas it doesn't jut out at all, really, just on the edges. Okay? Then you have, so that's one amatol. Then you have five amot of this 30 by 30 space, right? The Yesod is 32 by 32. Okay, minus the parts where it doesn't have, but it's extended ways, 32, although we're going to see today a different opinion about this. Then you have a 30 by 30 space, which is the piece that goes on top of it. It's 5 amot tall and 30 by 30 amot. Then on top of that, you have this 28 by 28, which is 3 amot tall, and that's where on top of that you do all the burning. Okay, that's like the fires, okay? That's where the burning goes on. And because there's that space of one amah on either side of that 28 by 28 base, so when you're 6 amot high, you sewed, plus the 5 amot.
2 amot.
Well, one on each side, because it's 28 by 28, right? That would give you one on either side?
Two.
No?
That's
2 on each side?
28, that gives you 2 on either side. Because it's 28 by 28 plus 2 on each side.
I see, so you're right. So why would it be... They said it was one amah.
One.
Right, wouldn't it be one, 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 one? Can't argue with an architect.
Put a 28 square inside a 30 square.
It's not 4 centimeters off, it's 2 centimeters off.
One on each side.
One on each side.
Why?
Because you've got two over.
It's 28, so here goes 29, and here goes 30, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's just leave it right now because it's not so germane to our issue. Anyway, this is Sovev. That's where the Kohen walks around, okay? And that's where, when he does the sprinklings on the top. Now, the Chura Sikra, okay, let's just clarify, it's a little bit below the Sovev. It's one amma below the Sovev because that's halfway, right? Oh, I forgot to get to the 10th amma. That's the Kronot, right? The 10th amma is the height of the Karen. So you basically have the Karen, one amma, three amot of this 28 by 28, that's 4 amot. 1 amot below that will be the halfway point because it's 10. Okay? 10 amot. So now, what happens? When he does the sprinklings above, he's standing on the Sovev and they're really going on the top part and they probably drop down onto the Sovev itself. Okay? But when he does the ones at the bottom, he's standing on the floor or on the Yesod, probably on the floor because the Yesod is only 1 amot out. He probably stands and leans over. In fact, there's a picture in here. Show you in this book, you can see him standing doing the sprinkling. So when he's standing doing the sprinkling, he's standing on the floor and he's sprinkling towards the Chura Sikra here. Here's the picture. You can see they're not standing on the Yesod. They're standing on the floor and they throw it at the under the Chura Sikra. So they're standing in different places for the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. That's what I wanted to clarify. They're standing on the Sovev when they do the upper ones, and they're standing at the floor when they do the bottom ones. Okay, so now they say... It looks wider than one amma.
No,
what?
It looks narrower than an amma.
Yeah. Oh, the picture. Right, well, it might not be drawn to...
Well, you can step on an amma.
You can step on an amma. It's true. It does look smaller in this picture. Yeah, I don't know why. Okay. So now, they say here, the Ola needs Yesod underneath. Now we're going to have an issue. In the Ola, okay, we don't see this inside, but in the Ola it says he stands, there's a Breita, or it's actually a debate whether they're quoting from Mishnah or Breita, but the Keren Mizrahi didn't have a Yesod. Now the place where the Kohen would stand to do the Malika was at the Keren Mizrahi Dromit. It's the Keren Mizrahi Dromit, okay? It's the southeastern Keren. Is the first one you get to. Remember, you go up the ramp, and there you are at the Mizrach Darom. Okay, that's the first place you get when you turn right at the top. So he stands there, and that's where he's supposed to do the Malika. Now, what's the problem? The problem is the Keren Mizrahi Dromit lo hayala yesod. Right? The Keren Mizrahi Dromit didn't have a Yesod. My time, why didn't it have a Yesod? Dama Rabbi Elazar, Lefisha lo haita b'chalka shel Tohef. Now we're going to get into Nachalav, Yehuda, and Binyamin. Binyamin and Yehuda, both, the Beit HaMikdash was both in the Shetach of Binyamin and Yehuda, And we're going to see now exactly where the border was. The reason why there was no yesod there was because the Keri Mizrachi Dromit wasn't in the chelek of Binyamin. Okay? It was in the chelek of Yehuda. Now we're going to explain this. Da'amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Mizbech ochel b'chelko shel Yehuda Amah. Okay, before we even get to this, we need to do a little background. Or maybe I'll read the whole thing and then we'll go back, because it kind of builds on it. Amar Rabbi Levi bar Chama. Okay, that means Mizbech ochel b'chelko shel Yehuda Amah. That means the Mizbech juts into the chelek of Yehuda by an Amah. Amar Rabbi Levi bar Chama, Amar Rabbi Chana bar Rabbi Chanina. Ritzu'ah ita yotzeit mechelka shel Yehuda. There was a ritzu'ah, there was a strip of land that was 30 amot wide that went from the chelek of Yehuda and went into the chelek of Binyamin. Okay? Binyamin heard, like, saw this Baruch HaKodesh. Binyamin, the son of Yaakov, you know, obviously Beit HaMikdash wasn't existing yet. He saw Baruch HaKodesh that this was going to happen, and he was upset about this all the time. Shneemar chofef alav kol hayom. Okay, different interpretations are given to what chofef means. Rashi explains that he was struggling with it, like rubbing his clothes all the time, and just, you know, mishafshef, like he was worked up about it all the time. Some people think he was just concentrating on it all the time, like he was always focused on, I want that to be a machelek. Lefichach zacha Binyamin atzadik v'nasa ushbizchin lekadosh baruch hu. And that's why in the end Binyamin was rewarded that he was going to get the Kodesh Kodeshim being his chelek. Shenemar uben ktipav shachin. Okay, this is already, and remember, this is in the bracha for Moshe. Okay, we started off in the bracha of Binyamin because we call, I didn't explain this yet, but it says, b'chelek shel toref, why do we call him a toref? Because Binyamin ze'ev yitrof. Okay? That's from Vayichi. And it says in that pasuk, ba'boker yochal ad ula'erev yechalek shalal. And they explain that to mean, what does it mean, ze'ev yitrof? The mizbeach will be in his chelek, and the boker and the erev are a reference to the korban tamid. Okay? That he'll always have the boker and the erev, things will go on in his chelek. And then, the question is here, according to this, it sounds like it wasn't clear. I'm going to go back and explain a little better, don't worry, but I wanted to get to the end first and then go back. It wasn't clear where the Kodesh Kodeshim was going to be, which part of the Beit HaMikdash was going to be in. Okay, I'll show you that the Chelek of Yehuda is the Mizrach side. Chelek of Yehuda is where the Ezrat Nashim is, and there's these four Lashakot. Okay, that's the Chelek of Yehuda. And then it went further into the Ezrat Yisrael and to the Ezrat Kohanim until where? Until you got to the Mizbech. And that, in theory, was the end of the chelek of Yehuda, okay? Other than this one amav, the yesod, that jutted out into that place. Okay, you can see that from the picture. Okay, the Shanstein, they have a little picture of it. You can see the chelek of Yehuda goes there. But this extra area that they're talking about is that he also received this space that was 30 amot wide that went on the side of the Mizbeach, okay, the southern side. And that's why there was no yesod on the southern side. Because it went out 30 amah. Where does 30 amah get you? Remember, this was 32 by 32. Just until that bit of the yesod that was jutting out. So he had a strip. It doesn't tell you how wide it was, but it was 30 amot long that it went a little extra 30 amot alongside the Mizbeach. So the part in front of the Mizbeach, and as if you walk in Shaar Nikanor, that whole area until the Mizbeach was his, other than that little Amma that jutted out, which I didn't really see an explanation for how they say all of a sudden that wasn't, but okay. And then at least the other one that juts out, you could explain, because then on the side, if you walk, if you're facing Shaar Nikanor, right, you're going to go to the left, the area on the left of the Mizbeach, which is really under, yeah, but under the Kevesh, was his Rishut, basically. Okay? And that goes until the that little part that juts out. That's why it's 30 amah.
So it's
okay?
Not like the Kevesh belonged to Yehuda.
It's not that the Kevesh belonged to Yehuda.
It's just the area underneath it, part of it.
I guess so. Well, we're going to talk about a little, well, we'll see in a minute a little bit more, but right. The main thing is that the Mizbeach, I actually realized I was getting into the Malika earlier, it was a mistake. The Malika comes up later. So if you go back to the beginning of this, okay, let's just review from the beginning so that we get it all straight. So we said now, Amarta Ola Tuna Yesod, V'keren Dromi Mizrachi Lo Hayala Yesod. Okay, so now they say, right, the Ola needs a Yesod. One second. According to this, right, there's no question yet. The question's going to come soon. But they're saying if the Ola needs Yesod, right? Ah, right. This is just explaining why the Matanot had to be on the two other walls, because that wall didn't, right, that corner had no Yesod. Okay, and that's why it wasn't on the Mizrachit Dromit. And the reason is because, okay, now we're going to find out why it didn't have a Yesod. This is like, you know, we have information, there's no Yesod. Question is why? Because it wasn't B'chelek Shel Binyamin. Okay? How do we know it wasn't B'chelek Shel Binyamin? Because we just explained that it went up to, right, the Mizbeach was an Amah into the Chelek of Yehuda, and, right, that was basically, that whole space belonged to Yehuda and not to Binyamin. Okay? And therefore, you can't do, right, that all the avod on the Mizbeach had to be done, except for the ramp, which was just to bring things up, that's okay, but the Mizbeach itself had to be in the Rishut of Binyamin. And then there was this side thing about the we brought up this Kodesh Kodeshim just derech agav. That's not germane to our topic. The Kodesh Kodeshim was brought in to show why did Binyamin, why was he zoche that he got the Kodesh Kodeshim? Because he was upset all the time. And what was he upset about? He was upset about this strip that he wanted it to be in his chayot. You might have thought that's a bad thing, right? It's a little, but he so much wanted to be with God that he was upset about this strip, which is the strip that we were in, as we wanted to know about the strip. But then from the strip, it led to Binyamin getting the Kodesh Kodeshim in his chayot. Now, some people say, what are you talking about? Of course, and it wasn't determined by Moshe that he was going to get the Kodesh Kodeshim. And also, if you think about it, what, the Kodesh Kodeshim you were going to put somewhere else, like in the Ezrat Nashim? It's hard to understand that. So some people actually explain that, try to remember that, sorry, I'm trying to remember what it was. There's other explanations that it means really that it was, we were talking about the Mishkan and Shiloh. That obviously he was going to get in the Beit HaMikdash. The question is, the fact that Shiloh ended up in his Nachala was what the Bracha of Moshe was. And that's what we're talking about, and not the Kodesh Kodeshim in the Beit HaMikdash, but in fact, maybe you could say the Kodesh Kodeshim in the time of the Mishkan. Okay, and that's one, maybe a better explanation. Okay, now, there was something else I wanted to add. Right, it's it. Now, why is it important that it only be in Binyamin Shetach? Because the Torah says in Terem Yubet, we read from those Pesukim a few days ago, where it talks about you bring Korbanot, but if you're going to eat just on your own, right, then you can shech things outside the Beit HaMikdash, etc. But there it says, "V'makom asher yivchar Hashem be'echad shvatecha." And Rashi there says, right, "What shevet? Nachalato shel Binyamin." Okay, but it had to be one of your shvatim, according to the Torah, and not two. Okay, so now they're going to have a problem with this. Meitive. Olat ha'of ketzad haitana aset. How did they do the olat ha'of? Okay, this is where they're quoting. I'm sorry. I said before they were quoting a Braita or a Mishnah. Here it's where they're quoting either from our Mishnah, that's going to be on Samach Dalet, or from a Braita. The olat ha'of ketzad haitana aset. How was it done, the olat ha'of? So now they're skipping a bit, but the main point actually isn't mentioned here, which is that you go up the ramp and you go to the Karen Mizrachit Romit, that first Karen you get to. And what would you do when you got to that first Karen? Hayam molek et rosham mimul or pa'um avdil. The Kohen would pinch the back of the neck, and mavdil means he severs the neck from, you know, the head from the body. Umimatzeh dama al kira mizbech. And what does he do? He squeezes out all the blood and puts it on the wall of the Mizbech. Now, where is he standing? At the Keren Dromit Mizrachit, where there is no Yesod. Now, there's an assumption that we don't let the blood just spill on the floor. It has to spill onto the Yesod. V'i amar lo hava le Yesod, ba'avira ba'alma hu deka'avid. If there was no Yesod, then he's just doing it in the avir. Right? So how could that be? Okay? That's one way of reading it. But a possibly better reading is that that we're concerned. In here, what doesn't it say? In theory, he's standing there at the corner. And you could say, well, he leans over onto the Mizbech, and then at least it falls on the Mizbech and not onto the floor. But it doesn't tell you anywhere that he has to face the Mizbech. You would think if that was necessary, it would tell you he has to face the Mizbech. Some people actually suggest that what's going on here is really that we're concerned when he does the Malika, where's he generally, since it doesn't say he has to face the Mizbech, if he's standing on that corner, he could easily be facing the other way. And then the Malika is taking place where? in the airspace of Yehuda. Okay, which I think makes a better sense in terms of the answer to the question. Okay, so we're going to read the sugya with that interpretation. And we're not worried about the blood falling necessarily in a place where there's no yisod, but we're worried that he's doing the shchita, which is an important act, right, where the malika and the kabbalah, right, and the dam, all the part about the dam, he's doing it in a place where it's the avir of Yehuda. So then the Gemara answers, like I said, there's a lot of ways of understanding this. It's not so clear cut. So now they say, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Imar kach hitnu. Let's say, well, it suggests that there was a tnai made between, like a, what do you say, a deal struck between Yehuda and Binyamin. Avira de Binyamin, karka de Yehuda. The ground belonged to Yehuda, but the airspace above it belonged to Binyamin, and therefore we're not worried about the airspace.
It's a name.
Okay? Right, exactly. It goes, it brings us back to Bava Vatra. Okay. My lo havale yisod. Okay, now we're going to get to, even though we know what this means, we're now going to see that it's not so clear what it means. What does it mean it didn't have a yisod, right? We understood, Rav Amar Bebinyan, they didn't build a yisod in that area, right? There was none. Okay, that's how we've described it until now. There's one line jutting out, right? One amma by 32 jutting out one way, one amma by 32 jutting out the other way, and on the other side, empty. So now, what do they say? Levi Amar Bedamim. Levi says, no, 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 it means there was a yisod. They built a base, 32 by 32, full, all around. Okay, not like all the pictures. It's hard for us to imagine because this is the downside of seeing pictures. Pictures can only explain one shita. His shita is they built a base 32 by 32. So what does it mean, lo havale yisod? It means bidamim. It means you can't put the blood on that part of the yisod. Okay, it means the rules are, yes, there's a base here, but you're not allowed to put any blood on that base. Okay, so any work with blood has to be done opposite the other bases. And, you know, certainly you can't spill the shirayim there, etc. So now, how are they each mitargam this pasuk? Okay, I said Binyamin, Ze'ev, Yitraf. They explained as, in this area, the Mizbeach will be built. So, Rav mitargam, ba'achsanite yidbane midbacha. Okay, that means in his area, like ichsun, like a machsan, okay, yidbane will be built, midbacha, mizbeach. Okay, he says very simply, meaning you can't build the mizbeach in Yehuda's chelek, which means you can't build part of the yisod there, so it wasn't built there. Levi mitargem, ba'achsanite yidbane mikidasha. The mikdash will be built, meaning, not the Beit HaMikdash, meaning, because the Beit HaMikdash was built in both chalakim, he means makom mikudash ledamim. Okay, you can only build an area that's sanctified for the purposes of collecting blood in the area of Binyamin, which means they built the Yisod 32 by 32, but when they built those two strips on the Mizrach and the Daram, on the east and the southern side, those weren't sanctified to accept blood. Okay, that's how he explains the Targum on that pasuk. Now we're going to have a question on Levi, and then we're going to have a number of questions on Rav. Tashma. Hayisod hayam halech al pnei kol tzafon, ha-tzafon, va'al pnei kol ha-ma'arav. Okay, this sounds pretty clear, right? The Yisod went on the northern side and on the western side, which sounds like it didn't go on the other two sides. So this would be a question on Levi. Ochel b'darom ama achat, u'b'mizrach ama achat. Right? It consumed in the Darom, and it was, right, how do you say it? It was not built, right, tofes, b'darom ama achat, u'b'mizrach ama achat. That means it jutted out one ama into the east and into the south, which is exactly those, right, if you look at those maps, that little piece you see jutting out, it jutted out one amma by one amma into each side, but then it didn't go any further than that. So that sounds pretty clear cut that it goes against Levi. So actually they answer it, even though it's in my mind not a strong answer. They say, my ochel nami bidamim. What do they mean? When they say the Yisod was mehalecha p'nei atzafon, or p'nei kol ha-ma'arav, or chel b'darom ha-ma'arav, or mizrach ha-ma'arav, that meant what part of the Yisod could accept blood. Actually, it's not a terrible explanation, but it's saying, right, what part of the Yisod is allowed to consume blood? That's why they use the word ochel. Ochel, consumption, we've seen that before. What part can consume blood? 30 on that side, 30 on that side, one amma into the south, one amma into the east, and that's it. No more than that. Okay, meaning there was more of it built, just you weren't allowed to have blood there. Okay. Now we're going to have a bunch of questions on Rav. Okay, so that was a question on Levi, which we answered. Tashma. Okay, in order to... right, so now they say, okay, no, this one, yet we don't need to read extra. The next one, it's missing a lot of the actual original source. Tashma. Okay, most of these sources, by the way, are coming from Masechet Midot, where it talks about all the Midot of the Beit HaMikdash, which makes sense. HaMizbeach haya 32 al 32. So, there you have it. It was 32 by 32. If it was 32 by 32, it sounds like the Mizbeach was built, the Yesod was built entirely, because it's 32 by 32. If you give dimensions, you mean the entire dimension. So again, what are the answer? This one also is a pretty easy answer. Ema, Hacha b'mayaskinan min hatzad. In other words, they mean how far did it jut out at the longest point? Not that it was actually 32 by 32, but if you pick the longest point, it would go 32 that on that side, 32 on that side, even though on the other two sides it didn't go out those that amount. Okay, Tashma. Now before we read this, Nimtza Poreach, you have to read, you have to look in Rashi, and Rashi quotes the beginning of that Mishnah. Okay, so if you look at Nimtza Poreach Alama Yisov Alama Sovev, okay, and it says, well, the common prayer kochi kochim, Jaramina Manina Adade. Okay, now Ditnan. It's the first wide line in Rashi. Okay, Ditnan. Here's the Mishnah. Chade Kevesh, now we're gonna get to the whole dimension to the Mizbeach. Chade Kevesh Hayali Dromosho Mizbeach, Orech Lamid Bet. Okay, it was 32 long. Vamizbeach lamid bet orech. Hare orech hamizbeach vakevesh. Oh, sorry, this isn't the one that we talked about. This is, the mizbeach itself was 32 amot long. And orech hamizbeach and the kevesh, sorry, I didn't read this one. Kevesh hayal adromosha mizbeach, right? The kevesh comes out of the southern side of the mizbeach, right? It's going toward the Darum. It was 32 amot long. And the mizbeach was 32 amot long. So, hare orech mizbeach v'hakevesh, how much would you expect? Samach dalet. Okay? But, in fact, they're not samach dalet. Okay? We're going to see that it actually, okay, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's actually 62. So, how is it 62? Okay? So, they explain how it's 62 in this Mishnah. Nimtza poreach. And says, what do you have to do? You have to find two somewhere that are overlapping. So what do they say very simply? Nimtza poreach ama al yisov v'ama al sovev. This is what the Mishnah says. It's clear that what happens, the kevesh overlaps, it hits into the mizbeach at the top, but there's an ama coming out of the sovev. Remember, the top was only 28, right? And then, actually, it should be...
That's right, you lose one.
Right, 29, 30. Right, exactly. Exactly. One for the Yesod, one for the Sovev. Okay? So now they're saying, what's important here? It overlapped one Amma of the Yesod and one Amma of the Sovev. Now, if we're on the Darom side, there shouldn't be an Amma of the Yesod there. Okay? Get it? Okay? So, how do you explain that? So that sounds to go against Rav, who said there was no Amma there. Ema kineged Amma Yesod. In other words, right, what does it mean? It means where the Yesod potentially could have been. Because if you talk about the general dimensions in the Mizbeach as being 32 by 32, so you're not going to say, oh, well, over there was only 31, right? It's just easier to say.
Yehuda,
right? Right, exactly. That was the Amma of Yehuda. Okay. Next one. Tashma, Detani Levi. Okay, this is interesting because we're bringing a question on Rav from a brighter that Levi brought, Levi himself brought. Levi was the Bar Machlokta, right? He was the one arguing with him. So, Detani Levi, Ketzah Bonim Et HaMizbeach. Now, here we get the whole thing about how you build the Mizbeach, okay? Mivi'im Mabein, you take a wooden frame. Shu Shloshim Ushtayim Al Shloshim Ushtayim. You take a big wooden frame that's 32 by 32. V'govho Aman, it's one Amma tall. U'mivi Chalukeh Vanim Befulamok. You bring softened rocks. What does it mean, softened? From the water, right? Water softens rocks. They make them smooth. Bein Gdolot, Bein Ktanot. It doesn't matter what size they are, okay? You know, small ones, big ones, you bring a whole bunch. Umibi seed, bikunya vizefet. Okay, you bring plaster, molten lead, and tar. And what do you do with them? Umimacheve shofech, right? You kind of put it all together, pour the stuff together, and it dries up, and you have this mold of rock. Vizel mekom yesod, and that's where the yesod is. You can already see that this obviously means it was 32 by 32 full. Okay, the rest is irrelevant now, but we're going to learn it anyway. First of all, it says it here, and anyway, it's good chazara on what we did. So once that's dry, right, you bring a wooden frame that's 30 by 30. And its height is 5. They don't bother to tell you the rest, right? And then you put the tar and the plaster and everything, you mix it together. Right, and these are squares. Yeah. Right, exactly. Or square. It's considered square here, right? And it's, look, a square is a form of rectangle. It's a four-sided.
Right. Even quadrilateral.
Right. Right. But in their words, you would call it a malbein.
They would probably have used concrete in the Second Temple because the Romans were already using concrete.
Well, they said these were made of stone, though.
I know, but why would they?
Why would they use stone? What?
Why would they not use concrete? Maybe that's what they mean by the lime, keeping it together.
Right. I assume they use the concrete to kind of help it meld together, but it's really made of stone. That's what we talked about, the chutas tikra, right? You couldn't put a reshet in the middle because it had to be a solid base of stone. But now we're going to see, it wasn't like they took a piece, one gigantic piece of stone. They took all different stones and put them together.
They couldn't have moved a piece of stone.
Right, obviously. Yes, right, gigantic. Okay. Okay, so now we're up to okay. V'chozer umevi mabein shu kapchel al kapchen amot v'gapo shalosh amot. Okay, so then they bring the base that's 28 by 28 with 3 amot high. V'hum akom ha-ma'arachan, that's the place where they do all the burning. V'chozer umavim ha-ben shu amah alama, umevi chalukei avanim mefulamot, bein gdolot, bein ktanot, umevi zepet v'kunyo m'machev v'shofech. Not clear why they just didn't write v'chulei here, but that's a printing thing. That's whoever put this together for printing, in one place wrote v'chulei and the other place wrote it out. That's not like an ekroni thing. V'zeu keren, okay, and then that's the keren. V'chein l'chol keren b'keren, right? So they do the same thing for the four krenot. V'chi tema d'gayezle avanim d'gayezle. If you might think, well, you start with this mold of 32 by 32, but then you cut out the area where you didn't want the yesod to be, right? You kind of cut it out after it's done. Avanim shleimot k'tiv. It says they have to be avanim shleimot. By the way, this is why they're telling you. Nim shleimot means they can't be pagum, you know, broken, something like that. So here, if you would cut it up, you break the evan. But that's why they're also telling you, you can bring, even though it says avanim shleimot, you might think it has to be one big solid rock. Obviously, like Shari says, there's no way you could do that. So that's why they allow it in this way. So what do they answer? K'tiv, avanim shleimot k'tiv. Okay, so now they give a different answer for Rav. How could Rav say this still matches him? Right? Whenever you make a mold, if you want, you could put, I think Rashi says or something, you could put like twigs and you know, wood underneath that area, right? Imagine you're painting a picture and you don't want it to go, the paint to go on a certain area, you're painting your house, right? And you put tape on so that when you paint it, right, you can just peel away the tape. So the same thing, they stuck something underneath. So when they made this mold, then they pick up the mold, right, pick up the big frame, they take out this wooden thing and it would just be empty there. Okay, so you could, even though they took a frame that was 32 by 32, there's no other way to do it, right? So they would, you know, I guess it's hard to build a frame that goes in, juts in one aman by 30, etc. So they would take this whole frame, but they would stick it and fill it up with other things. And how do we know that for sure this is okay to do? De'ilo temahachi, if you don't say this, then you have a problem with another part, which is, ha'dam Rav Kahana, avanim shel kranot chalulot hayu. Rav Kahana says that there were holes in the kranot of the mizbech. The idea was that they wanted the blood to go inside the kranot, so the kranot were hollow inside. Now, if you take this one by one mold and you throw all the rocks in, how could it have been hollow inside? So first of all, how do you know it was hollow? And then they're going to say, once you know it was hollow, then it has to be that they used molds like this and they filled them up with stuff so that it could be empty. And they must have done the same thing with the yisod. Dichtiv, it says in Zechariah, talking about Bnei Israel, Hashem Tzvot Yagen Alehem, V'ichlu V'kavshu Avnei Kela V'shatu Amo K'mo Yayin U'mal'u, and they'll be full of you know, wine and good things. Ki mizrak, ki zaviyot mizbech. Just like the bowl in the mizrak, right, what's a bowl? They'll be full like the bowl, which gets full of things. Or like the zaviyot mizbech, just like the corners of the mizbech, which is the kranot, okay? Which, they're making a comparison, they're like the mizrak, which means that they collect things, which means they have to be hollow inside. So therefore, hachinami, avanim shleimot, amar rachmana, Ela demachet midi mitote vishakele, right? It must be they put something under it and then took it off. When they took off the mold, you know, that came off with it. Okay? Hachanami demachet midi mitote vishakele. So therefore, just like it said it there, avanim shlemot, and yet it was hollow, so it must be that they made it as an even shlema, but with filling it up with stuff so it wouldn't get to everywhere. It must be they did the same thing here. Okay? And that's Rav's answer. So it doesn't prove anything. Now we're going to go back to understanding this history about it being in the Chelek of Binyamin, and we're now going to say that David and Shmuel, according to this Gemara anyway, it's a bit of a debate about it, and wasn't it decided otherwise, but David and Shmuel figured out where, you have to remember, the Beit HaMikdash is described in the Torah all the time as HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha. So how did we figure out what's the HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha? So they're now going to say that David and Shlomo figured it out. Okay, Darish Rava. My dichtiv vayelach David uShmuel v'yeshvu b'nayot b'ramah. Okay, this is at a certain point in Sefer Shmuel, Perek Yutet, I believe it is. Right, so David is running away from Shaul, and he goes to Shmuel in the Ramah, and then it says David was b'nayot b'ramah. Now Nayot is in a different place than the Ramah; they're not the same place. So the question is, this pasuk makes no sense. Okay. Berama b'chima, I'm sorry, berama b'chima and yan nevayot etzel rama. Okay, they're nowhere near each other. Ela shayu yoshvim berama v'oskim b'no yoshel olam. How did they dart in this pasuk? They were sitting in the Ramah, which is where Shmuel's house was. V'oskim b'no yoshel olam, and they were dealing with the most beautiful thing in the world, which was none other than the Beit Hamikdash. Okay, Amre, they said k'tiv v'kam tavalita el makom. Okay, it says you have to go up to the place. Milamed shebeit hamikdash gavoa mikol eretz Yisrael. So they said, it must be the tallest place in Israel. Okay, that's what it says. Ve'eretz Yisrael gavoa mikol aretzot. Okay, so then they said, right? What does it teach you? Beit hamikdash is gavoa mikol eretz Yisrael, and eretz Yisrael is gavoa mikol aretzot. Lo avayade duchte hecha'aitu. Sorry, hecha. They didn't know where duchte is the place. They didn't know duchte hecha. Where is the place? I too say for Yoshua. Okay, soon we're going to see at the very end where, how we know that they found, and as there's some drasha from a pasuk that they learned it from Sefer Yoshua. Okay, but right now we're going to see they opened Sefer Yoshua and they said like this. Let's look at the boundaries and let's look at the, you know, what it says. Because, right, instead of looking at the map and seeing where's the tallest place, they said let's look at, there must be a remez to it in Yoshua. Because Yoshua, why Yoshua? Because there he describes all the boundaries. So now it says here, "Bekulu k'tiv vayered ve'alah ha'gvul v'te'er ha'gvul." When it talks about, now generally when it talked about the borders, if it would tell you the northern border of one, which was the southern border of the other, it would just tell you the northern border of this, and you know that it was the southern border of the other one. Okay, you wouldn't need to say both. But when it comes to Yudan Binyamin, okay, it starts telling you both the northern border and the southern border. So then it says, v'yared ha'gvul v'alah ha'gvul, right? It was the northern border, the southern border, but to Eregvul, and it turned, or some people say it was drawn, the border was drawn. But B'Shevet Binyamin, but when they got to a certain area, Dafka, where Shevet Binyamin overlaps with Shevet Yudan, this particular area, it said Va'alah K'tiv, it said Va'alah a number of times, V'yarad Lo K'tiv, and it never said V'yarad. So what did they darshan from this? Because it says Va'alah here a number of times, it never says V'yarad, it must be, this is where the highest place is. Amre Shmamina Hachahu Mekomo. They said must be in this general region. Savor Lemivnie Be'en Etam Dimidale. So then they said, so where's the tallest place in this area? It was Ein Etam. Okay, Midale means it was the tallest. Amre Nitate Be Kalil. But then they said, well, let's lower it a little bit. Why? Kidichtiv. We're now back to Binyamin. What does it say by Binyamin? Right, in Sefer Dvarim, the Binyamin Amar Yedid Hashem Yishkon Labetach Alav Chofef Alav Kol Hayom Ubenk Tefav Shachen. Now between two shoulders it will dwell. Now between two shoulders is usually something lower. So it means it's between two peaks, meaning it's a little bit lower than the highest place. It's not the actual highest place. That's one answer, and that's how they came to Yerushalayim, because it was a little bit lower. Okay, that's one answer. V'baydema, some people say, Gemiri de Sanhedrin b'chalkod Yehuda, u'shchina b'chalkod Binyamin. They already had, another answer is, They had a, they knew, it was a Masoret, that the Sanhedrin is in the place of Yehuda, right? Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda, mechokek mi ben ragla, right? He gets the judgment. Ushchina b'chalkod binyamin, and the Shchina was supposed to be in Binyamin, that we learned already. Ve'im dalina le mitpaleg tuva. And if we go at the highest spot, that the Beit HaMikdash is going to be on the very highest spot, and there was an assumption that, remember the Sanhedrin sat in Lishkat HaGezid, which was in the Mikdash also, that would end up being separated. I'm not sure exactly how this works. I assume just because it's so high up, and there wasn't enough space there, so you would have a very high up spot where, you know, the more important things of the Beit HaMikdash would be, and then you would have the Lishkat HaGezid lower down, and I guess that was too separate. I'm not 100% sure, but I assume that's what they mean here. And therefore, dinitate beporta, so then they decided, okay, we have to find a place where it's a little bit lower so you can have both near each other without having a separation between them. Kedichtivu ben k'tei pav shachin. And again, they relied on the pasuk according to this answer also of a ben k'tei pav shachin. Now, according to this, so David and Shmuel figured out where the makom of the mikdash would be. Val davar zeh nitzkanei do'ega edomi b'David. And about this issue, Doeg Adami was very jealous of David HaMelech. Now, Doeg Adami, we learned about him before. He was with the Kohen Nov. He basically told Shaul, he tattletaled on David, that the Kohen Nov were really tattletales on the Kohen Nov, that they helped David. But it was also said about him that he was a huge Talmid Chacham, but what took him down? His jealousy. Okay? That the Gemara says at some point that he was a huge Talmid Chacham, but it was his jealousy of David. So the question is, what was he so jealous of David about? So they say, dafka about this, ki dechtiv, ki kinad beitecha achaltani. Okay, the kinah of your house ate me up. Uktiv, zechor Hashem leDavid et kol anoto asher nishba laHashem, vigomer, imavo ba'ol beiti v'imaten shnat le'enai, lafapai tnuma, ad emtza makom laHashem. Okay, and it says, David, right? Zechor Hashem leDavid. Hashem, you should remember for David all the suffering he did, where he swore to God, "I will not go to my Oel, I will not sleep until I find a place for God." So this is where they're showing all these psukim that show that David was the one who did it, and then they connected that Doeg was jealous of David for this. Because why? How did they get that? Because kinat beitecha. Beitecha is the bayit of Hashem, right? This is David in Sefer Tehillim saying kinat beitecha achaltani. In other words, it's the kinah that was related to the bayit of Hashem's bayit, and that's why the whole pasuk reads kinat beitecha achaltani achalatni v'cherpot chorfecha naflu alai. In other words, everybody got angry at me, which is Doeg Adami they're talking about, took out his jealousy on me because of your house. So that's what we see, because he was planning, right? What does it mean, because of your house? Well, then we see these psukim that David swore to Hashem that he wasn't going to sleep until he actually, right, found a place where the Beit HaMikdash was going to be. Okay, and a few psukim later there, it says, these are all psukim from Tehillim. This is Tehillim Kuf Lamed Bet. Then it says, Hinei Shma'anua Be'efrata. Now here the psukim say, how did I figure it out? I heard about it Be'efrata. Mitzanua b'steyar. So what is Ephrata and steyar? Be'efrata ze Yoshua, dekatim Ephraim, right? He was Ish Ephrati. He came from Ephraim. That's how he heard it from Yoshua, meaning that's how we know that he darshaned the psukim of Sefer Yoshua. Mitzanua b'steyar ze Binyamin, dechti Binyamin ze Ev Yitrap. Where does the Ze'ev hang out? In the Ya'ar, right? In the fields of the forest. So that's how they get that he connected it with Yoshua and Binyamin. Okay. New Mishnah. Finish up in another less than a minute. Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. Now we're moving to the next topic. Okay, the Zvachim of the Shalmei Tzibur. Va'ashemot. Okay, so now we're going to get to the next category. We're talking about the Shlamim of the Tzibur and Korban Asham. Now they're going to tell you, in case you didn't know, Eluhen Ashamot. What are the Ashamot? Asham Gzelot. Asham Me'ilot, right, we've mentioned these a lot. Asham Shivcha Harufa, we haven't discussed this one in a really long time. Debate about what exactly this is. Is this, in every Divri is allowed to be miyached, right, be alone, or I would say a Shivcha Knanit can be designated, okay, sort of like a marriage, but not exactly a marriage, to an Eved Ivri. And the Asham Shivcha Harufa is if somebody else sleeps with the Shivcha Harufa who is designated, the Shivcha Knani, that was designated to the Eved Ivri while he's an Eved Ivri in the house. Some people say it's actually a shifra who's a half free and half. She has two owners, and one freed her and one didn't. And in that case, the evidivri is not allowed to be with her. So some people say that it's talking about that case. There's a bit of a debate about what exactly it is. Asham Nazir, Asham Mitzora, that we've seen the Asham that the Nazir and the Mitzora have to bring, that's stated explicitly in the Torah. Asham Taloi, that's right, remember when you're not sure if you did something that you'd be chayav a chatap for, if you mazed, you would be karet, and you're not sure if you did it or not, so in the meanwhile, until you figure out whether you did it or not, you bring an Asham Taloi. So the details of these are the same as before, as the last one. Shchitatam b'tzafon, v'kibul damam b'kli sharei b'tzafon. They're eaten inside the azara. For the male kohanim, lechom achal can be cooked anyway. Liyom v'layla ad chatzot. Okay, tomorrow we're going to get into what are the details about this. Right. So why it's not the same as the ola, because that one I actually wanted to make a comparison. Right. The ola was shchitatam tzafon, that was all with tzafon, and the shtei matanot shein arba, it's not the same. It's a combination of some of the things of the ola and some of the things of the chatat, because the ola needed hefshet nituach and kalil leishim. It's not like that, and the chatat didn't have the same matanot. That's why these are mentioned separately, because they have the matanot like the ola, but they have the other details about who can eat them, because the ola nobody can eat. The other details of how you can eat them and when and all that are like the chatat. Okay, so they have parts like this and parts like that.